For those of you who are here, and this is your first time here, welcome. My name is Pastor Jeremy Bannister. I'm the lead pastor here at Heights Christian Church. And here at Heights Christian Church, we do some things a little bit different. We go through the Bible in 5 years period of time. Not a lot of churches do that. And how we do that is we read the scriptures together Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday, our sermon is taken in whole or in part from those sections of scripture. And we do that for two reasons. Number one, so that we might become biblically literate, knowing what the Bible actually says. The early Christians were known as people of the Word, and we want to be known as people of the Word as well, knowing how to rightly handle the Scriptures and the Word of God. But the second reason is this. We believe that the thread of redemption found in Jesus Christ is found from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And by knowing the Word of God better, we're going to be better equipped to telling the people around us about our redemption in Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's who we are, and we would love for you to join us on this journey. There's a couple of ways that you can do that. Number one is that you can go out to the information desk. We have some booklets there that have all the readings that we're doing as a church for 2026. And it's free. Just go ahead and grab one. We want you to have that. And the great thing about that is you can start reading this week if it's your first week here and be caught up with what we're all doing here and be caught up with us next week as we break the scriptures together. So we look forward to you joining us in that. The second way you can join us is to go to our website, heightschristian.org. And if you go to heightschristian.org and you go to the visit tab, there's a button there where you can download or view that exact same PDF copy of all of our readings for 2026. And you can have it on your phone, you can have it on your tablet, on your computer. You can put it on your neighbor's computer. That's fine. They need to get in the Word of God too, right? So we would love it for you guys to join us with that so that together, we're growing together in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And here's the cool thing. I'm not preaching today. Now, the three of you started getting up to go home? No. Okay? I'm not preaching today because today is going to be Beatles' first sermon here at Heights. And so he's done an amazing job, and I want to invite him up to come and share with us the Word of God today and encourage us together. Beatle, you're awesome, man.
I just thought of this morning. You know what's cool? Levi gave the communion meditation. Devin usually helps with communion and stuff. I'm up here giving a sermon. Jeremy's first two-year discipleship class just took over Sunday. Yeah! So if you're in that class, keep going, man. It is worth it. It is worth it. But they decided they were going to take a risk by getting me up here, Heights Christian. They're just like, you know what? Let's have some fun. Let's put Beatle on YouTube. They actually had me pay a sermon fee. Jeremy and the elders had me pay a sermon fee because I'm a Dallas fan. Yeah. I paid half because they're like Browns and Falcon fans, so who are they? You know, we don't really know who they are, you know, but the Dallas Cowboys and Christians have a lot in common, you know. Nobody likes us, but everyone watches what we're doing. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying facts, you know, it's just but all right, I just wanted to say we need to acknowledge all the mothers. So if you're a mom, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, even a mother-to-be, if you could please stand. I was just going to have you guys raise your hand, but I was like, nah, they could stand up. But I just want you guys to know that you guys are amazing. You're awesome. All the moms here, all the stuff you guys go through, putting up with your kids and even your husbands, you know, you got a lot on your plate. And we truly appreciate everything that you guys do. You know, I was asked before if I could take on the mother role. And I was like, I could do it, but I don't want to. You know, I don't want to. I love being a manager at Pella Windows. I love coming home and being called dad, or as my kids call me, pops. You know, it's awesome just being that. But a mother, she's a therapist, a teacher, a cook, a nurse, a coach, a housekeeper, a chauffeur, a pastor, or leader, you know? But most of all, she's a legend. I came up with a list of things that moms do that no one else can do quite as good as her. Moms give the best hugs. Nowhere does a child feel safer than in their mother's arms. Number two, moms know how to heal us. When we're sick or injured, or, you know, she pulls out all the stops, you know, brings out all the medicine and voodoo and witchcraft and all that stuff, you know, she just, whatever it takes to make us feel better. Moms remember everything. Who would keep track of all the games? Uh-oh. I haven't even started yet. Moms remember everything. Who would keep track of all the games, the practices, the events, the birthday parties, the appointments, if it weren't for mothers? Because dads, we ain't remembering that stuff. Moms make our favorite meals. Our moms don't have to be professional chefs to make the best meals. My mother-in-law makes an awesome cashew chicken, and my mother makes the best tostapapillas in New Mexico, and they're just great. Moms make sure they tell us that they love us. Even when they're mad at us, they tell us they love us before the end of the day. Moms indulge in our interests. They may not be interested in things that we're interested in, like lizards and our music or going to the gym or the movies, but they'll learn what they can for our sake just to have a conversation. Moms protect us. The mama bear is the ultimate protector. Beast. Moms make us laugh. They hate to see us cry, so they'll do everything they can to make us laugh. Even tell jokes worse than dad jokes. Moms defend us. Moms will fight for us when we need their help, even if it's our fault. Number 10 is probably the most important one. Moms pray for us. They pray when we're out too late. So all those phone calls that you're getting, they're calling over and over and over. She's worried about you. She's praying for you. Because they don't know where you're at. She prays for you when you're going to your first job interview that you get the job. Or in a competition, whether you play sports or football, basketball, whatever. You know, or even if you're just being bullied at school or being sick. And that's our topic for the day. We're going to focus solely on prayer today. Our readings this week were Psalms 28 through 31, 39, and 41. Who did their reading this week? Nice. Nice. A few of you. Step up the game, the rest of you. I see what the elders are talking about. I'm just kidding. But this chapter's focus is all about prayer. And David prays four different prayers. And I found six ways that us as Christians can pray as well. You guys are like, Beetle, there's only 9 verses. The Bible has so much in it with so little. But yeah, I found 6 ways us as Christians should pray. So for all you note takers out there, there's going to be a quiz at the end. And the winner next week gets free coffee and donuts before church. Amen. I want to tell you guys a story about myself and how I came to Christ. And Being that this is like my first sermon ever, my family's heard the story over and over, but I got the microphone. So a few years ago, actually quite a bit of years ago, it was about 24 years ago, December 18th, 2002. And the reason I know that is because that's the time the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers came out. And that's the good one, right? Amen for the Two Towers. But so at that time, I was actually hospitalized. I was in the hospital maybe about a month and a half already. Maybe a month and a half. And I had some kind of disease. Every joint in my body was sore. From my knuckles to my wrist, elbows, where my shoulders connect, my waist, my knees, my toes. Every single part that was where there was a joint was sore and in pain. And I had hives all over my face. I had hives all on my back. My lymph nodes were expanding on my neck, so my neck was sticking out about this far. They were all under my belly. All my lymph nodes were expanding. My diet was Gatorade and water. I couldn't eat because my mouth was so dry and would build up this stuff in my mouth, and I would choke on it waking up in the morning. And that's if I could sleep. So I'd wake up every morning, there'd be this stuff in my mouth. I'd have to get like a little wood stick and scrape it off just so I could drink something. I couldn't move. The sheets that the doctors gave me and laid on me, they were too heavy for my body. I had to try to sleep with no blankets. Being that I'm Beetle, the doctors would get mad at me, and I'd try walking down the hall, and they'd have to catch me all the way down the hall. What are you doing, Mr. Lopez? You're supposed to be laying down. I'm tired of laying down. You know, it was a pretty tough time in my life. And one day I was laying there, and it eventually got to the point where I told my wife, go to work. You got to go to work. You know, just why are you sitting here all bored with me? It's just going to be the same thing every day, every single day. So she would leave, and there was a time no family members were there. This little bald cracker comes in my room, and I can say that, right? He comes into my room and, you know, starts talking to me. How's your day? How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. And how are you doing? And, you know, trying to figure out who this guy is. And he's talking to me, and, you know, we talked for a good about hour, 10 minutes, something like that. And he was getting ready to leave, and he says, hey, at this time I wasn't a believer, you know, and he says, hey, do you mind if I pray with you? I'm like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, I don't believe in God. I don't know about any of this stuff, you know. And yeah, do you mind if I pray with you? I'm like, sure, that's cool. Let's do it, you know. And so we bow our heads and we're praying and said our prayer, and I'm still like, you know, I'm praying, but I'm still looking at him like, whoa, this is weird. You know, like, what's going on here, you know? And after he said his prayer, all right, have a good day, man. I was like, all right, later. My wife comes in later that day. How was your day? Well, this little bald white dude comes into my room, and he was talking with me, and he wanted to pray and stuff like that. And she's like, oh, that was probably Jeremy. Like, just so you guys know, it was Jeremy. But after that, right after that, the next day, probably within that week, because they didn't know what was going on with me. They had people coming from other states and everything to come and, you know, try to figure me out. I was like their little science project. After that day, my blood work was getting better. Hives and everything were starting to go away. My skin was looking better. Lymph nodes were going away. And like, whoa, what was that? And they're like, that's a different kind of medicine. That's the Lord. So That's how I came to faith. That's basically like my testimony. And Greg, yours went perfect with the message today. And that's how I came to the Lord, was through prayer. That's why the title is Teaching Us to Pray. Now in Psalm 28, David is praying. And it's a petition for prayer. A petition for prayer is when an individual asks God for divine assistance, forgiveness, or intervention, personal needs, or needs for others. Now we have to understand that during prayer, there has to be trust in the Lord. There must be submission, thanksgiving, and there has to be endurance. So I'm going to read Psalm 28, the whole thing. Lord, I call to you, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. If you remain silent to me, I will be like those going down to the pit. Listen to the sound of my pleading when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not drag me away with the wicked, for the evildoers who speak in friendly ways with their neighbors while malice is in their hearts. Repay them according to the work of their hands. Give them back what they deserve, because they do not consider what the Lord has done, or the work of his hands will tear them down and not rebuild them. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleading. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates, and I give thanks to him with my song. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of the people. He is a stronghold of salvation for the anointed. Save your people, bless your possession, shepherd them, and carry them forever. David prays because he's facing significant personal danger and deception from workers of iniquity, people who speak malice in their hearts, people who speak peace while harboring evil in their hearts. He cries out to God, his rock, fearing that divine silence would leave him vulnerable to destruction. Ultimately, David seeks God's justice against the wicked, expresses trust in his protection, and prays to God to shepherd and save all his people. Basically, David calls out to God. One thing that we understand is that when David prays, or even as we pray, God cares and wants us to call to him. He wants us to pray to him. God is he's a generous God, and you know, he wants to give to us. He's so generous and loving. So if you look at the first two verses, Psalm 28, 1 through 2, Lord, I call to you, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. If you remain silent to me, I will be like those going down to the pit. Listen to the sound of my pleading when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Now, this situation is desperate. David calls God his rock. God is referred to as a rock over a dozen times in the Bible, primarily in the Old Testament, to symbolize strength, stability, refuge, and faithfulness. In 1 Samuel 17, David killed Goliath using a rock launched from a sling. A rock is a strong force of security. So David is asking God for a hearing. Listen to me, Lord. Listen to me. There are times in my life when I feel like he's not listening. You ever have that time in your life when you feel like he's not listening? And it's not necessarily that I feel like he's not listening to me. I'm like, why would he listen to someone like me? You know, I'm broken. I'm sinful. I'm not right. You know, but being broken and sinful, we should acknowledge that he is our strength. That's number one on how to pray as Christians. Pray knowing that you have strength in Christ. Our Lord is powerful. He has many different ways of showing how powerful he is. Last month, we celebrated Easter. And you see the different types of power he has. He's so powerful that, you know, he got beaten, was hung on the cross. died for our sins. You know, that's powerful. Another way he showed his power at the same time was in the tomb, moving the stone away from the entrance of the tomb. He didn't have to move that stone to get out. He moved it so we could look in to see what he's all about. We face many struggles in life, health, finances, family conflicts, temptations, addictions. God's power can overcome all these. His strength can overcome all these. So where is your heart when you pray? Where is your heart? My mind wanders when I pray. Anyone else have that? When you're praying and you just start thinking of other things, or you start just thinking of the situation that you're praying for, and it's just like all over the place, and you know, it's pretty wild. But where is your heart when you pray? Are you really sitting there and focusing on Christ? And at times we feel like we're praying the same thing over and over and over. That's number two on how to pray. Pray repeatedly and fervently. Go to God over and over again. Ask him to hear it and just keep praying. In Luke 18, 1 through 9, we're going to talk about a judge. Now, he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people. And a widow in that town kept coming to him saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming." Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth." The judge got tired of her bugging and bugging and bugging and bugging. You know, and being that it's Mother's Day, you kind of understand, right? Mom, say my name one more time. I dare you. I dare you. Dads, we give in too quick. We're like, yes, you can run with the scissors. Use them as a sword. You know, go chase your brother. You know, we give in too fast. Moms are like, no. But God is no unrighteous judge. That judge was unjust and uncaring. God is not that. You can keep going to God over and over again. Don't give up on prayer. In the second couple of verses of Psalm 28, 3 through 5, "Do not drag me away with the wicked, with the evildoers who speak in friendly ways with their neighbors, while malice is in their hearts. Repay them according to what they have done, according to the evil of their deeds. Repay them according to the work of their hands. Give them back what they deserve, because they do not consider what the Lord has done or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and not rebuild them." In this prayer, David is asking for separation from the wicked. He asked to not be swept away with those who speak peace while harboring evil in their hearts, urging justice for those who disregard works. The wicked are not simply people who commit sins, for even the faithful do that. The wicked are those who oppose God and his people with deceit and treachery. And David is crying out to God, his rock, for mercy, separating himself from deceitful enemies who appear friendly but plan destruction. David is asking God for justice, that he is vindicated, and that the evildoers get what they deserve. Number three on how to pray. Pray for deliverance from sin and evil. You want to hear something crazy? I want to sin. I want to sin. You know, sin is so easy to do. It's not hard to do. Sin is so easy to do. And, you know, I want to sin. And save me, Lord, because sin is so easy. It's so fun. You know, back in the day, it was just get up and go. You know, how am I going to get high today? You know, and it's crazy. What am I going to do today to get high? You know, it's, sin was like, there was no worries back then. It was just all, like I said, get up and go. But, you know, it's, you get up or you finally get the money to get that bag and whatever's in it was just beautiful. You know, whether it was weed, cocaine, meth, it was just so beautiful. And that is the problem with sin. He wants it to look easy, fun, and beautiful. That's Satan's way of getting in there. Satan wants it to be that way. So that way we take our focus off Christ. We should pray for him to distance us from evil, to deliver us from evil. That when we sin, we run to God for grace and mercy. Not run from him. We should run to him. Why? We can't defeat sin on our own. I can't defeat sin on my own. If it's up to me, I'm all going that way. You probably can't defeat sin on your own, can you? No. But Jesus can, and he did. He died on the cross for our sin. So run to God. Number four on how to pray. Pray with urgency with all your heart and mind. Back in 1861 to 1865, there was an American Civil War being fought. Hostilities officially began on April 12, 1861, when Confederate forces attacked Fort Sumner, and the war effectively ended with the surrender of Confederate armies in April 1865. So speaking on our focus on Christ, Abraham Lincoln came up with the proclamation for the National Day of Humiliation of Fasting and Prayer. And that's crazy. The other day was National Day of Prayer. You guys all saying your prayers? Amen. I printed the proclamation, and I was going to read the whole thing, but I know it's Mother's Day. You guys are getting kind of hungry already, right? And so I could have read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read a little section. So if you want to look into it later to read the rest, awesome. Whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to their own dependence upon the overruling power of God to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. And in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, we may not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war which now desolates the land may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our nation, reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest boundaries of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten his gracious hand, which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-efficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. He behoves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our nation's sin, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Good thing I'm only reading part of it, huh? But it took the president to reach out and say, we are a country built on Christ. We are a country built on Christ, and our focus should be on Him. One nation under God. Amen? God's reputation was on his heart. He's praying with urgency during this time of civil war. And number 5 on how to pray. Pray submitting to God's will and rule. We are expressing faith when we submit. Lincoln was saying we need to focus on the Lord, but also submit and trust in the Lord. The next couple of verses of Psalm 28, 6 through 8. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleading. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates, and I give thanks to him with my song. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is a stronghold of salvation for his anointed. In these verses, David is praying with confidence and praise. Abruptly, the tone shifts to thanksgiving as David expresses assurance that God has heard his plea, praising him as a source of strength and protection. Finally, he affirms God as the strength of his people, and saying, and a saving fortress for his anointed. That's number 6 on how to pray. We should pray with thanksgiving. In Philippians 4:4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is a letter from Paul providing practical guidance on living a joyful, anxious-free life through faith and even amid hardships. The theme is rejoicing the Lord, replacing worry with prayer and gratitude, focusing on virtuous thoughts and finding contentment in Christ's strengths. How many of us out here worry? Everybody worries? Don't lie, Levi, I see you. We all worry, right? How many of you worry too much? Right? Is worry a sin? No, worry is not a sin. Worry becomes sinful when it replaces God. When you begin to doubt God, that's when it becomes sinful. Anything that replaces God. But if you worry too much and it starts to replace God, then it is sinful. Worry is not trusting that God will get the job done or that he won't get it done on our timing. We should not worry, but pray about what's going on in our heart and mind. Colossians 3:15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Thank God when he answers prayers. Many times we forget to go to God and thank him, right? We're so happy with the blessing he gave us or the answered prayer that we forget to go back and just sit and just thank him for being so awesome and so good. And we forget. God knows what's best for us, whether he answers our prayers or not. Do you thank God when he doesn't answer your prayers? A theologian from the 1900s named Garth Brooks wrote a song. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs. That just because he don't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Man, I signed up for the worship team. Come on, life group. So what the song is really about is, you know, he's asking for prayers for this girl. You know, whether it's college or high school or whatever, I think he was dating her for a while, you know, and he was just kept praying to God that this is going to be my forever. This is the one, you know, and constantly praying and just like, Lord, Father, this is what I want, you know, but then life happens, things happen, you know, and he ends up with someone else and they meet each other and stuff, you know, but he answered prayers just in a different way. You know, maybe God has something better for you than what you're praying for. You know, oh, you're over here praying for this. I understand you want that. But look what I got over here. You know, and it's not to say that the first girl was like damaged or anything, you know, but but it's just, you know, something just God has other plans for you. You know what I mean? But and I think the only time that we actually sit and thank God is when we sit down and yell, thank you, Lord, for this food. Pray this food nourishes our body. You know, what are you really praying for? Food is going to nourish your body. You know, it's going to nourish your body or make you fat, you know. But have you actually sat down and thanked God? That is it, praying with thanksgiving. So Psalms verse 9. Save your people, bless your possession, shepherd them, and carry them forever. David is interceding for others. The psalm ends with confidence that God will protect his people and his anointed. A prayer for the community. This is a prayer for the community. The psalm concludes with a plea for God to save, bless, and shepherd his people, reflecting a broader concern for the community of faith. Interceding for others is the act of standing in the gap to pray on behalf of someone else, reflecting God's mercy and love. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. This verse teaches that Christians shall humbly confess sins to one another and pray together for healing and spiritual restoration. So who should we pray for? We should pray for everybody. We should pray for ourselves. And I pray for myself a lot. I think the most praying I've ever done was this morning. Spiritual warfare is real, man. You start seeing crazy stuff and just, you know, I'm dreaming my notes are all mixed up, or I dream that Jeremy's mad at me for whatever reason, and you know, just things that are trying to distract me from even just speaking the word, you know? And it's just, I pray for myself all the time. You should pray for your spouse. Your spouse is your number one after God. My wife was going through a lot last year, you know? Everybody saw how she's walking around and in pain and couldn't move, you know? And me and her would just sit there and pray, and I'll pray over her. And, you know, that's my number one right there. Pray for your family and friends. You know, everybody in that category right there. Gabby, praying for you, girl. Told you I'd call you out. A tough one for everybody. Pray for your enemies. Pray for our government. You know that they're making godly decisions. You know that includes our military who voluntarily go out there to, you know, just fight for us, that we're able to be here and worship the Lord in this building right now. Pray for them. Pray for the unbeliever in their hearts. Pray for your church. This church is so awesome. I actually have a challenge right now from my life group, which is part of this church. They wanted me to do a sock check. If you don't know what a sock check is, the higher the socks, the downer the fool. Here you go, Levi. Here you go, Levi. Levi, how high?
Let's go, Levi.
Let's go. But pray for your church. Pray that, you know, that we're all about Christ here. The leaders, the congregation, the little groups that are all going on. You know, pray for them. Pray for your job. You know that job that you have that you cry about all the time? And why am I here? And why am I working this month? Pray for that. God provided you with that, you know? So, how should we pray for ourselves, for our spouse, for our family, for our friends, our enemies, government, military, unbelievers, our church, and our job? If you're a note taker, you should be like this right now. Note takers, one, okay. Free coffee and donuts next week. Pray with strength in Christ. Pray repeatedly and fervently. Pray for deliverance from evil. Pray with urgency with all your heart and mind. Pray submitting to God's will and rule. Pray with thanksgiving. Does it sound familiar? Kind of sounds like the Lord's Supper, doesn't it? When he's teaching the disciples how to pray. We should pray as David did. David was up every single morning, right before the sun came up, before the day even started. And we all know that David needed prayer, that he needed to pray. Psalm 5:3, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. So start your day off in prayer. See how it goes. You know, it's always said, Lord, get inside my head and my heart before the world does. So start off your day in prayer. That's how we should pray. Satan can't create things, but he can disrupt what God has created. And if you start your day in prayer, he has no chance. He has no chance. David's prayers include requests, praises, and sometimes honest complaints during difficult times. He prayed morning, noon, and night. And get this, David will also praise God 7 times a day. To those who pray well, learn to praise well. It makes it so much easier to praise, and it makes it so much easier to pray. Our God is so good. He is our strength, our guide. He's our path to eternal life, and he wants a relationship with you, a relationship where you're not afraid to call on him, shout to him, and know that he's listening. Every time we pray, Lord Father, we ask for your presence at this time. He's already here. He's already here. He is omnipresent. He is here. So something to think about this week. Try praying early in the morning and see the difference in your day, because he is ready and he loves you. I would like right now to ask if the elders could come up. These guys are so awesome. Just like us, broken, sinful. They want to pray with you. You have any prayer requests, come up. Even come up to right here. Just let it all out. He's listening to you. So, what we're going to do today is we're all going to stand and we're all going to say the Lord's Prayer together. In Matthew 6, 19 through 20, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And we as a congregation are going to end in the Lord's Prayer. Because even Jesus prayed constantly and all the way to the cross when he said, "Pray for them, for they do not know." Every time Jesus had to pray, he always left the crowd to be alone with his Father. I don't know about you guys, but on this version of the Lord's Supper, I prefer the King James Version. It's like one I grew up with. You know, I grew up Catholic, so it was like repeated and repeated and repeated. So it's basically that one. And that's how we're going to end this service today. So if we could just pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now go out, church, and say your prayers, and stand as yours.